Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship in the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
Okay, we have...
this particular area in Scripture, this particular area that we pointed out, is actually where we got our name for Love Fellowship Believers. Amen? Where we got our name for Love Fellowship Believers. In this particular Scripture, although we just read the first three verses, you're welcome. There's other verses that go along with this. And so it doesn't say love here in the King James Version. You might have another version that says love, but in the King James Version it says charity. And charity would be the word that you could replace and say love. So we are love fellowship believers because God has first commanded us to love. Amen. It's a rough season that we're in. It's a rough time that we're in. There's a lot of stuff going on. And so I was praying to ask God what it is that we would preach today, what it is that would be said today. I don't take the position of standing behind this pulpit lightly. I don't think it's something that should be used to try to beat somebody up. It shouldn't be used for anyone's personal or political agendas. I don't believe that that's what this pulpit was made for. But in my studying and in my asking God of what it was that I would speak today, He gave me a word to speak about what's going on right now. The task that God gave me was to figure out how to kill hate. How to kill hate. With so much going on in our world, unfortunately, it boils down to folk have a lot of hatred in their lives. Folk not just having it in their lives, but they have it in their heart. Have a lot of hatred in their heart. Because of this hatred, we see racism. We see sexism, gender stuff. We see all kinds of things that come along because of this hatred. We even see, if we take the time to actually look back in our lives, we might even find out that there's some things that have happened in our lives that subconsciously there's things that we don't like because at one time we just really dislike it. I don't wear the color red a whole lot because I never liked the color red because I went to a school whose color weren't that. And our rival school was the color red. So that's something that impressed in me for a very, very long time that I come to find out that I looked at my wardrobe and I was like, wow, I hardly ever had any of the color red. The killings, the shootings, especially if you're non-white, stuff that you've been taught about all your life. being taught about slavery. You know, you learn stuff from school, you learn that other kind of stuff, but you learn even more important stuff from grandmama, granddad, and all that other kind of stuff to find out. You might even have found yourself at one time or another to be a person who was discriminated against, who was treated unfairly, just because of the way that you look. And so, scripture. To be able to understand how to kill something, I guess we need to understand of where, have an understanding of where something comes from. If you're writing down a title for today's sermon, two words. Love men. Love men. Amen? So, here we see in Corinthians the importance of love. We know that as believers we are commanded to love. God tells us to love one another. But we take some time and look through the Bible, we will also see where God tells us not only to love, but to also hate. Turn over to the book of Psalms, if you would, with me. I'm going to be coming from Psalm 97. I'm just going to give you a few scriptures. I would encourage you in your own study to take the time to go and look up and see exactly what all the Bible says about hate and love. Psalm 97, verse number 10. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. So we see here that if I love the Lord, then I should hate evil. Evil shouldn't be something that I want to be a part of. Evil shouldn't be anything that I want to participate in. Psalms 26 and 5. Psalms 119 and 16. You might want to write these down. Says that as believers, we should hate evildoers and falsehoods. Even as we are, as believers, are commanded to love one another, there are specific things that we're told to hate. It says, if we look over in 1 John 3 and 15, we'll see that hate is a heart issue. 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, verse 15. It says, I'm coming. It says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hate is a heart issue. So why is it? Why is it that God would tell us to love one another? But then we also see in Scripture where it tells us to hate different things. Some people might say, well, that's contradicting itself. But it's not. We are to love one another. But we are to hate the issues. The issues would be the sin. We are to hate the sin. So a person is not necessarily evil, but a person can do evil. A person is not necessarily a liar, but a person can lie. So, and as a believer, I still love the individual, but I hate the issue, but I hate the act. And as we've heard so many times preached from this pulpit, all of us have issues. So, if all of us have issues, and hate is something that the issues are something as believers we're supposed to hate. So now, is it a surprise that someone might say that they hate you? But it really not be you, but it would be your issue. Okay? Is everybody following me? The problem comes in when somebody hates something hell. The problem becomes then when somebody now hates you, but not necessarily the issue. Hates the fact of the color of your skin just because of the color of your skin. Hates the fact of your social economic status just because that's what it is. Hates the fact, something that you have no control over, now that becomes an hate issue. And that's what it is that we're seeing. That's what it is that we're seeing during this time. It's a heart issue for some people. But Scripture tells us that love wins. Love wins. Love conquers all. Amen? Over in Proverbs chapter 10. Over in Proverbs chapter 10. I want to show you what hate does if you allow hate to harbor in your heart. See, because I can hate something and let it go. Let's see, an example. Road rage. You don't have to raise your hand. But road rage can be an issue. Amen? And even in road rage, if you're not careful, you'll find yourself in the car by yourself, totally out of character. You might even mutter some choice words. You might hate the fact that this person just pulled over in front of you, that this person slowed down, that all these different things happened. Amen, somebody. But the thing with road rage is it's something that happens real quick, and hopefully you just sort of get over it and keep on going to where you need to go. You don't allow it to fester. Let's look at what happens when hate festers. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 12. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all. And so if I got this hatred in me and I don't find a way to let this hatred go, what it does is it starts to stir up stuff. If I hate the issue, if I hate the fact that this person is this way, and I don't find a way to let it go, Bible, we just read that the Bible does give instances where it tells us, even as believers, to hate certain things, certain issues. And so I can hate the issue, but still love the individual. But if I concentrate more on the hate of the individual and don't concentrate more on the love, concentrate more of the hate of the issue of the individual, but don't concentrate more of the love of the individual, Scripture tells us that this hatred will then start to stir up strife. And so now, even as I love the individual, I love the individual, but, and I don't. Okay, okay. But I hate her hair. And so every time I see her with her hair, she just gets on my nerves. That did not feel right, sorry. But hate the hair. And now every time I see her, I don't see her as Sister, but I see her as, oh, that's her with the hair. Then what I'm doing is I'm starting to plant a seed that's now going to cause strife. That's now going to cause an issue. I love her, but I hate her hair. So now I got an issue with her. Until she get a haircut. So Scripture tells us that this hate, it will stir up strife. And I think that's what's happening. I think people are concentrating more on our differences than folk are concentrating on the things that we have in common. And so folk are allowing that one or two things that we have as a difference to be the issue rather than the thousands of other things that we have in common to actually bring us together. I don't know about you, but when I put my pants on this morning, I didn't just jump into my pants. I put my pants on one leg at a time. I did. I put them on one leg at a time. I might have started with my left leg. You might have started with your right. But if you got on pants today, we already have something in common. Even if you like James and Todd and have on shorts, they still put them on one at a time. Amen. I don't know. If you put on a shirt, it was a t-shirt, you had to put it over your head. You had to put it over your head. Did anybody put their t-shirt on with their feet first and pull it all the way up? But we put it over our head, right? Okay. If you got a shirt that buttons up, did you put your shirt on and button it up from behind and then turn your shirt around? Or did you put your shirt on this way and then button it up? Does everybody see what I'm saying? We have more things in common than we have things that separate us. But we're living in a time where people are concentrating more on the things that separates us than the things that bring us together. And the things that separate us is not actually the individual, but it's the issues. It's the sin. It's the stuff that really don't matter. It doesn't matter to us because can't none of us forgive anybody else's sin. I can't. If you have the power to forgive someone else's sin, please let me know. But I don't have that power. Scripture. Love wins. Well, the task is to kill hate. How can I kill hate? Well, to be able to kill hate, I got to know what hate is. And so I use Sister Cam. So why is it that the person hates her hair? Why is it that hair is an issue? Well, if I love you and I see that that's your issue, then the love that I have for you, I have to do a little bit of investigative work. I have to try to find out what's going on. My wife, Arian, not feeling her best today. I love that woman. Amen. Is there anybody here that know that I don't love her? Amen. All right. I love that woman. And so I became inquisitive. Hey, what's going on? You good? You need something? Can I do something? Can I fix? You need me to, I'll go here, I'll go, what you need me to, because of my love for her. I didn't just dismiss and say, well, okay, you're not feeling well. I can't stand you. That's not the attitude to have. All right. We're going to kill hate. Psalms 36, we're right here. Psalms 36. So, for people just writing notes, you need some scripture. We're coming from 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. We talked about Psalms 97 and 10. We talked about Psalms 26 and 5. We talked about Psalm 119, 16. We talked about 1 John 3, 15. We talked about Proverbs 10 and 12. We're now on Psalms 36. Amen. Psalms 36. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. Verse 2. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. And so what this is saying is that in their own eyes they flatter themselves too much to detect the hate to detect or to hate their sin. In other words, you know how you talk yourself out of doing what you want to do, but you know that it's wrong anyway? You know when it's something that you know that you ain't got no business doing? You're going somewhere you know you ain't got no business going, but you want to do it anyway. But you done got a couple of red flags and something done told you, ah, this ain't right, I don't need to do that. Pastor, you don't understand, but he look good. Something telling you to leave that alone. Pastor, you don't understand, she makes me smile. I understand, but is something telling you not to do that? Not to be involved with that? But you press through anyway? Maybe it's somebody edging you on to participate. You know, that's how gang stuff does. You know you ain't supposed to be a part of it. You ain't supposed to be dealing with it. But there's somebody edging you on. Come on, man. Come on, girl. This is what hatred will do. Because the person that's edging you on or trying to get you to participate in something that you know that you ain't got no business doing, and you saying, nah, I don't really want it, but they still trying to press you, that person don't love you. That person doesn't care about you. All right. A few more scriptures. Let's stay over in Psalms. Turn over a few more pages to Psalm 45. Psalm 45, verse number 7. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Thou lovest good, hatest bad. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. So you mean to tell me that if I take my focus off of the issues, off of, and I concentrate on just loving what's right, being concerned about what's right, hating what is wrong. Scripture says that if I line myself up with God and I love his righteousness, but I hate the things that he's told me about wickedness, it then says that he anoints me, that gladness would be there. Is that not what that scripture says? Luke chapter 6. We're getting a lot of scriptures today, Pastor. There's only a few more. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse number 27. It says, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. I remember the first time I read that scripture. Don't believe I was saved at the time. And I was like, I don't know about this Jesus stuff. It just said, those that can hear, anybody here can't hear? Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. That goes against. I'm sure it goes against my flesh. Let me put it that way. It goes against my flesh. Because the person that's going to do wrong to me, the person that's going to be considered my enemy, why would I want to love that person? Why would I want to pray for them? Why would I want to do that? That goes against. Well, see, I no longer should be walking in my nature, but I now should be walking in the nature of God. God is the perfect example. Jesus is the perfect example of how love wins. And so now, those that treat me, those that do all this kind of stuff, this is supposed to be my response. I can give you testimony. Anybody got any issues going on with other people? Is there anybody? Raise your hand. Is anybody here got an issue going on with some other people? Okay? I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to take God at His word. Okay? Are you up for the challenge? Start praying for those people. Don't pray that God would get them. Okay? Let's go ahead. Let's put some parameters here right quick. Lord! Okay. No. Don't pray that God would get them. Okay? Pray that God would bless them. If it's even difficult for you to pray that God would bless them, start to just pray God's will over their life. I'm standing here as a testimony that when I started to pray for my enemies, it seemed like I ain't had to fight them no more. When I started to pray for them, I don't know how it worked out, but it seemed as though I didn't become their focus no more. And to this day, the folk that I thought that I was really having some issues with and all kinds of stuff that I started to pray for, now those folk come by to check up on me to see how I'm doing. All I can tell you is that that works. And so for everybody that raised their hand and said that they got an issue, do what God says right here. If you can hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. You got somebody against you, life and death lies within your tongue. You've already spoke death to them. You've already cursed them. You've already said all the other kind of stuff. It ain't work, did it? They still bothering you? They still... Switch it up. This is how you kill hate. With love. Love wins. 1 John. 1 John. Let's go back over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, verses 19 and 20 says, we love him because he first loved us. If you've been in church any amount of time, you done heard that saying before. I love him because he first loved me. But verse 20 says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. How is it that you can say that you love God? Anybody seen God here? How is it that you can say that you love God but hate your neighbor, hate somebody else? So, how you going to say you love God, but you hate Mika? You see Mika just about every Sunday. But I hate her. How could you say you love God, Mika, if you hate Todd? And you see him just about every Sunday. So scripture says, well, how in the world is it? It says, if you say that you love God, but you hate, you're lying. You're a liar. Because again, the hate doesn't fall on the individual. The hate falls on what? The issue. The hate falls on the issues. The hate falls on the same thing that God hates. Sin. It doesn't fall on the individual. And we're here in a time in 2017 where folk are hating individuals. How do I conquer hate? Conquer hate with love. Love wins. Ecclesiastes 3 and 8. It's in the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes 3 and 8. Right around Proverbs, right after Proverbs, I believe. Song of Solomon, somewhere around in there. Ecclesiastes 3 and 8. Ecclesiastes 3 and 8 says there's a time for everything. And I believe the 8th verse says there's a time to love. There's a time to hate. I believe it says it's a time for peace. And I believe it says it's a time for war. Is that correct? Love wins. For some, it may be a time to hate. We see it on the news just about every single day. Just about every single day. But as we're assembled here as a group of believers, a group of believers that are fellowshipping, a group of believers that are being taught love through fellowship, that are at love, fellowship believers, it's time for war. Not war in a natural sense, but it's a time of war for us to be at war against hatred. If we want our communities to change, if we want things to be different, we have to start loving. We got to start loving more. Our differences should not be the things that separate us. Our differences should be the things that bring us together. Because if Sister Tabby and I have a difference, she does something different. She jumps in her pants at the same time. She doesn't put her pants on one leg at a time. I'm just throwing this out as an example. Well, dog, that'd be pretty neat. I'd like to learn how to do that. How would we be able to work that out if we don't get together? What if? What if everyone that says that they believe in God actually did what he said? What if everyone that actually believes in God says, you know what? I'm going to love my enemy. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do this. What if we actually started taking that up? What if we actually went back to our preached scripture that we're coming from, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with tongues and man's of angels, though I can do all of these kind of things, though I have this ability to communicate better than anybody else and have not love, I become a sounding brass. I'm a tinkling cymbal. I can have the best communication skills in the world. That's what that scripture is basically saying. I can speak to whoever. I can have the best communication. I can do it. But if I can't do it in love, what's that to profit? It says nothing. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy, though I have the ability to prophesy and understand all mysteries, and though I have all the knowledge there is, and not only would I have all the knowledge, but I would have all the faith that is required to speak to a mountain and to tell the mountain to move, and the mountain would get out of the way, and have not love, I am nothing. Not I have, but I am nothing. You mean to tell me, Pastor, that I can spend all the time going to school, getting all these acronyms after my name, having all this knowledge, knowing Hebrew and Greek, knowing the Bible back and forth, being able to recite all these scriptures, and not just being able to do it, but in verse number one, I can have the communication skills to be able to teach it better than anybody else can teach it, be able to give it is better than anybody else can give it, but then have not love. Nothing. Without it, it's still nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, I got the best communication skills there is. I have all the knowledge there is. It says here, not only do I have all those things, but I've taken everything that I have and I've given it to the poor. Not only do I have this knowledge, not only am I able to communicate, but in doing so, I still have taken everything else that I have and give. And then after that, it says, and I give my body to be burned. In other words, what that scripture is saying is that I give my body as a living sacrifice. Though I've gone through and I've done all of these things, my works are nothing without love. I can have all the faith, but still not have love. I'm nothing. I challenge everyone that's listening to my voice, whether it be today that you're listening to it live, whether it be another time that you're listening to it as a pre-recorded thing, or however the cause would be, the case would be. Love wins. If you're not choosing love, you're on the losing side. You're not going to win. Whatever it is that you're trying to get accomplished, it's not going to work out for you. It's not going to be what you want it to be. The only way that that's going to happen is that you got to change your perspective. Pastor, I've been trying to get this job. I've been looking for this job. I've been applying for this job. I've been going here. I've been doing this. And it's just not working out for me. Stop. Reevaluate some stuff. Get that hatred out your heart. For whoever it is, for whatever it is, let things fall in line. And just start loving on people. Just start loving on people. I had a situation where somebody needed something. Somebody needed something. And because of love, I was able to help them out. I had somebody else that needed something. We were in line. We were in line at the store. And they were buying Pampers and all other kinds of stuff. And because of love, hey, just put it on the counter. Just put it on the counter. Come on, let's go ahead and get it. And I have witnesses. I have witnesses. That on yesterday, I got a piece of mail. I got a piece of mail I wasn't expecting to get. I got a piece of mail that I wasn't expecting to get from somebody that I don't even remember. I don't remember this person. I don't know if I've ever met this person before. But there's folk here today that can be a witness. I opened the mail up right in front of them. I was like, I don't know who this is. Let me open it up. And it was a check. Y'all, love wins every single time. Every single time. Don't worry yourself about differences and issues because everybody got them. Everybody got them. Some issues you can see more than you can see in other folks. Especially as I stand up here with a collar on and all this other kind of stuff, you might not see my issues as much. But I got issues. Amen? I got issues. If a person was to come into the church and they smelled like alcohol and they were stumbling, that's probably an issue for them. You can probably see that a little bit clearer. Right? Don't hate the person. You can hate the issue all day. Scripture tells us we can hate. He's even told us to hate evil. Hate wickedness. Hate. We just went through. We just went through some scriptures. Google it for yourself. We just went through some scriptures. That, yeah, there's things that he tells us to hate, but it's things. It's issues. It's sin. Not people. So, was it disturbing to me when I saw Charlottesville and I saw people marching with torches? Was it disturbing for me to see how law enforcement treated those folks compared to how they treated folk that look a little bit differently? Was it disturbing to me? Yes. Did I get angry? Yes. Was I probably sitting in my face with a mean, crazy look at my desk? My face looking crazy? Probably. But I still had a whole bunch of folk at my job that don't look like me. And how better to try to get somebody to understand or try to see my point of view or understand the reason why I'm feeling the way that I'm feeling if I was just to turn around and show them love. If I was to turn around and show them love and actually take the time to sit down and explain some stuff and to talk about some stuff and all this other, to try to get somebody else's perspective, to try to understand someone else's perspective and someone else try to understand my perspective. And at the end of the day, I have no problem agreeing to disagree. No problem at all in being able to do that. But what you will still continually see from me is love. Not necessarily because I want to all the time in my flesh, but because I want to in my spirit. I want to in my spirit because when I pick up that Bible and I read it, love wins every single time. I'm getting ready to close. Jesus suffered more hatred than anybody I know. Whether you're sitting here today as a believer and you believe what the Bible says and you believe the story of Jesus, or whether you're sitting here as a skeptic and you don't know if it was a true story or if it was just some fictional story, whatever, however you want to view it, however you want to look at it, no one suffered more than when we read this story of Christ. No one suffered more than that. If you see it as just a book, if you see it as just a story where the story goes that he didn't do anything wrong to anybody. But he was hated by so many. That he was hated to the fact that he was falsely accused. Didn't want to accuse him in an open court in front of everybody. But the Bible tells us that it was at night in a cemetery. Not where he was acting out, not where he was doing something wrong, but where he was just simply praying. The soldiers came and took him. And even in the midst of the soldiers coming to take him, one of his disciples, one of his friends that was standing by, pulled out a sword. He pulled out a sword, if you take the time to actually read the story, he pulled out a sword that Jesus told them to arm themselves with. He says, hey, go get swords. They came back with two. He said, that's enough. How in the world would two swords defeat a whole army? This is Jesus we're talking about. He knew who was coming after him. How would two swords defeat a whole army? It wasn't about the swords defeating a whole army. It was about a prophecy being fulfilled. So they had the sword. So Peter was known as the hothead. Peter was known as the one that didn't think before he acted. Peter was the one that whatever came to his mind before it even had any time to rest in his mind, it automatically came out of his mouth. And so Peter draws his sword. And in his sword, I guess he wasn't really a swordsman, wasn't too good. But in his sword, he cut off a guy's ear. I don't know how that was supposed to stop him from taking Jesus, but that's what he did. He pulled out his sword and he cut off this guy's ear. The guy's name was Malchus. M-A-L-C-H-U-S. You can look it up in the Bible. M-A-L-C-H-U-S. The story of Malchus is that Malchus was just carrying out his orders. Malchus didn't really know, didn't really understand, didn't really, he was just carrying out Cyphus' orders, the high priest. He was just carrying out the orders. And here he is carrying out his orders and his ear gets cut off. I'm taking you to jail. You're coming with me. You're coming with me. And as I'm taking you to jail, you're coming with me. You defend your friend. You cut my ear off. You just my ear. Did y'all see that? My ear's gone. And she cuts my ear off. But the very person that I'm coming to arrest grabs my ear and heals me. The very person that I'm coming to arrest grabs my ear and heals me and tells everybody, stop. Chill out. And after he heals me, he peacefully goes away. What in the world is going through Malchus' mind? What in the world is going through his mind? The guy that I just came to, everybody's saying he's bad and he needs to be, and they talking about crucifying him and doing all of this, and that's how love wins. You don't hear any more about Malchus in the Bible. That's the only place you're going to hear about his story. You're not going to hear about his background. You're going to find out who his mom and his daddy was. You're going to find out all. You won't, none of that. But instead of reading a story, can you imagine Malchus, whose ear has been healed, was cut off, saw the ear. The Bible says Jesus picked up his ear and, I don't know about you, but I've never seen my ear. Got to look in the mirror to do that. But now, Malchus, who's been healed by this man named Jesus, now sees him take him to the court system. Now sees him falsely accused. Now he sees him beaten. Now he sees parts of his beard ripped out. He sees the other guards playing jokes with Jesus, blindfold him. Well, if you know everything, if you God, and they hit him, well, who is it that hit you? Sees him as he's carrying his cross. Sees him as he falls down. Sees him as he's unable to carry the cross. And somebody else jumps in to help carry the cross. Maybe he's there as he sees the nails going to his hands. Maybe he's there as he sees the nails going to his feet. Maybe he's there as they're hoisting up the cross. And as they're hoisting up the cross falls into the hole and it just shakes Jesus' whole body. Maybe he sees Jesus' mother there at the foot of the cross crying. Maybe he sees Jesus take his last breath. The Bible doesn't say. I haven't found anything in any history book to talk about Malchus. But just based upon trying to put myself in his shoes, love won. And so when you respond to love, that's what you do to your enemy. You confuse your enemy. If I was to walk over and I was to smack James, I would expect James to get mad. I would expect James to want to respond. Although probably against his better judgment knowledge. I would want James, I would expect him to want to respond. But if I smack James and James didn't respond, and James turned and gave his other cheek, that would confuse me. That might have me go, wait a minute. Maybe he got something else that I don't know nothing about, or I'm sorry. That's how love wins. That's how love wins. Your challenge. Love. Love. Amen? Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord.